It's good to see you. Haven't seen you for a while. Just welcome. Now, as I said earlier, we're moving into Alpha season. So what I would like you to do is to invite someone to dinner. Who here in the last month has invited someone to dinner? Let's see. Oh, good stuff. Who here was hoping someone would invite them to dinner in the last month? There we go. Now, we invite someone to dinner. This is part of the Alpha promotion for 2012. The theme is keep searching. This is the bin poster. There's others, as we'll find out in a moment. So I need a team to help me, because if you look up in your Bibles, we're looking in the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel. So everybody find someone who can look up a Bible and look in Luke 14. And Jesus tells this story. You know that Jesus told stories that had a deeper meaning. He called them parables, and they are the most amazing things. Well, in Luke 14, we've got a good one. Okay. This should be titled page 98. So Luke 14, reading from verse 15. Now, you can, if you want, read this with me, because every day is a school day, right? Or maybe you don't want to hear that. When one of the men sitting at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "How happy are those who will sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God." So there's food in God's kingdom. Are you happy about that? Jesus said to him, "There was once a man who was giving a great feast to which he invited many people. And when it was time for the feast, he sent his servants to tell his guests, 'Come, everything's ready.' But they all began one after another to make excuses. The first one told the servant, 'I've bought a field and must go and look at it. Please accept my apologies.' But another said, 'I've bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' And another one said, 'I've just got married, and for that reason, I can't come.' And the servant went back and told all this to his master. His master was delighted. No, his master was furious. And he said to the servant, 'Hurry out to the streets and alleys,'" or the highways and byways, those of you who know your King James, "'and of the town, and bring back the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame.' And soon the servant said, 'Your order has been carried out, sir, but there's room for more.' So the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the country roads and lanes, make people come in so that my house will be full. I tell you all that none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner.'" Okay. So Jesus has this idea that the good news of God's love and the influence that's having over the world is like being invited to a dinner. Now, who here has ever invited people to a dinner and nobody turned up? Oh, yes, we have. Absolutely. That is a pretty miserable place to be. Maybe just one or two people turned up. Experience that? Maybe you're super organized and, you know, take a deposit or something. But it can be really depressing when you've cooked a great meal. So we are going to be cooking a great meal to invite people to come and hear about Jesus, but we need people to invite folks along. Perhaps you're here, you've never done an Alpha course before. Oh, boy, would I encourage you to come along. Hands up here if you did an Alpha. Put your hand up and wave your hand in the air if it was fab. Okay, so those people are just passing a message to you that there's no such thing as a free dinner, but we'll pay for this one, okay? Father, we've been celebrating your goodness and we've been just reveling in the joy that you have for each one of us. In song, in that wonderful story of an invitation to a meal that's open to absolutely everybody. And Father, with the joy of that comes the understanding that this world is broken and things don't happen as they should. There's lots of heartache. But we would start with those folks. And Holy Spirit, I pray that right through this Sunday, you would bring people to mind so that we have pictures or names, or we get that urge to just give an invite to somebody. And even, Lord, I know sometimes that we feel like we've failed if they don't come along, or they come along and don't like it. But if we're obedient to what you're asking us to do, then it's just one more step towards them realizing how much you love them. Lord Jesus, we want to pray for those people as they come to mind. Family members and colleagues and neighbors and friends. Folks who are at the moment perhaps distant from you, but you're not distant from them. We long for them to come know you. Also, Father, we would pray for those in our midst who we know are needing your assistance at this time. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for the Drever family who said goodbye to Nancy. And we'll gather tomorrow in order to give her the send-off she deserves. But do be with George, with Alice, with all the family. May they know your comfort through this time. And Lord Jesus, we'd pray that too for the Yule family. Many of us are very grateful for the hospitable house that Willie Yule keeps up Birkenside, and he's heading to say goodbye to his dad this week. And Lord Jesus, we pray that your hand would be on that family too. And Lord Jesus, we want to pray for Jim Baker and his family. What a privilege it was to know Mary, to hand her on to you, and to know that no eye has seen or ear heard the amazing things, no mind has yet conceived, Paul writes, of the good things you prepared for those who love us, who love you. And for those that we love, Lord Jesus, we pray that for them. Thank you so much for Mary's life. And thank you so much for the way you've worked in Jim. He's just been an incredible husband to her. Lord Jesus, may your comfort be with him and his precious family. Right round us, Lord, folks going through difficult times. If it's enough for a concern, it's enough for a prayer. And Lord Jesus, may we be found doing that, just almost without realizing it, taking a moment of prayer. Whatever we're doing, be it the ordinary everyday chores or at our work or traveling from place to place, waking up in the morning or resting our head at night, may we always be found in that place of prayer. In Jesus' name. And just as we finish, Father, we thank you for the answers. And we confess that sometimes you answer our prayers and we don't even notice. It just slips through. Thank you so much for your grace to us. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, Andy and Yvette, would you like to come out the front? Yvette's on creche. That was a poor piece of organizing. Right. Okay. Well, Andy, we'll chat to you. How way you come? I'll be very, very kind. I promise that. Now, so Andy, you did the Alpha course last year.
I did.
And how did you come to be doing the Alpha course 2011?
Well, we woke up one morning and we came to church and it was just over and backs. We didn't know anybody or be encouraged to come, so to speak. And we came, and the day that we came, I was handed an invite for the Alpha course. And I was like, do you know what have I got to lose? Went in with an open mind, and oh man, what he has done. it's just unbelievable, eh? And it's an experience that I never thought I would get in the first week of church. Because I was like that, everybody's crazy. They're all putting their hands up. Mark, you're weird. He plays the guitar and he's a minister. And just that opening experience and finding out that he's got 7 kids, I'm like, oh, fair enough, at least Marin will have a friend. And I was like, we'll just come for Marin. But the first night at Alpha, I didn't want to come back because it was too confusing. And as a new Christian or just learning to find faith, it was too mind-boggling. But then it was actually Janice and Carrie and Yvette that was like, look, come back next week, and if you still haven't got the hand yet, we'll get together after it and we'll chat about it. Next week I came and it was, light went on. Alistair, he's a big softy, Axel, I mean, but he's no. He's amazing. Diane and her jokes, that he's the mind-boggling, but the teaching was amazing and it was understandable. I mean, I never had a Christian upbringing. I didn't have a church. I didn't really know about God, apart from the Easter services when Mark came down to New Battle High School. And that was about it, really.
Andy, thank you so much. So who did you think Jesus was before you did the Alpha course?
Some silly guy that done what you should not have done first. People that didn't care.
And who's Jesus to you now?
Oh, man. He's me. He's my life. He's my savior. He's my faith. I question a lot of things. And after the Alpha course, it was Alpha Day Away. I mean, I didn't cry in front of anybody, and I was bubbling like a baby. I mean, I was doing it on my hands and knees with my, oh. And I was like, do you know what? I want more of this. I want to feel this. And you can't explain the feeling because, do you know, unless you want to feel that feeling, then you can't feel it. And there's a lot of barriers there that I've still got, but we're bringing them down slowly. And one day I'll be a Raven Lunagen.
Now, if anyone is considering... So, Andy, if anyone's considering inviting someone they're not too sure, what would you say to them?
Oh, Evelyn's cooking. That's an excuse on its own. Evelyn's cooking. I was on a diet and then that was given up until after Christmas. And then, man alive, Evelyn's cooking. The company, because before you actually go into your sessions, you have a good chat, what have you been up to and blah, blah, blah. And through, well, I blame that, of course, in a very good way. Having to find that place where you should be and opening your eyes to the opportunities. I mean, I've got friends now that I will never lose. And even if I didn't believe in God, I would still have the friends. Do you know what I mean? And it's like Diane's jokes. There's another one.
She got some of them from me, which is a bit scary.
That's explainable, by the way.
She didn't take them on. So, we're going to be doing Alpha. We're also want to encourage the church to get involved in telling people about it. What was it you were asking me for?
A sandwich board.
A sandwich board. So,
or a billboard, or both.
I think we can do a billboard. We might struggle with a sandwich board, but...
But how am I going to carry a billboard?
I think we'll put you a park bench outside the co-op. Right. Is that okay? Now, if we do that...
And a t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
If we do that, is there anyone else who's willing to come help publicize? Okay? Right. So we'll set a team up and we'll do that. But Andy, thank you so much. Thank you. Let's pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Andy and Derek, for Murren. We pray your blessing on them and that you continue to fill and thrill her as you draw her into that wonderful, amazing person you made her to be. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the life and vitality, the way she communicates. And we pray there'll be people there this year because Andy said, do you want to come for dinner? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Andy. Is there something else you want to say?
There's always something I've got to say. Everybody that wasn't here when I got baptized, I went into Alpha, so to speak, an atheist because there wasn't him, do you know what I mean? And I came out a fully blown Christian with a faith that I never ever thought I would find. And if you can, somebody else that was like me, I write it's no true kind of thing. I'll just go because Derek's wanting to go. Please encourage them to come, by the way, because seriously, you didn't know that feeling until you get in there and you get stuck in. And even at that, you'll go up two dress sizes.
I was emailing someone to invite them for dinner, and they wrote back to me and says, oh, I'm skeptical about this stuff, so you wouldn't want me on the course. And I emailed back saying, it's because you're skeptical. We'd love to have you on the course. Andy, thank you so much. And right, I'm missing up, so it's time to sing a song. Right. And if someone can get Yvette, we'll interview her too. But if she's through creche, Andy, you've just done an amazing job. Thank you so much. Seeing as we're in the mode of thanking people, this is Ross's first week on drums in worship, and I can't tell you how difficult a thing that is to do, because you almost notice the drummer in a worship band because of what he doesn't do as much as what he does. And Ross, thank you so much. Well done. It's a thrill to see, as Andy's saying there about, you know, lives transformed, it's also a thrill to see young people starting to take their place in, you know, in service, and it's just fantastic. Adele too. And also Ian has been playing 10 nights on the trot at the Guildford, and he's still here playing bass on a Sunday morning. I used to serve under a minister who said, if your Saturday night ruins your Sunday morning, you know what to do. And, well, thanks for being there for both. Brilliant. Now, invite someone to dinner. It's an easy thing to do, is it not? And yet also when we invite someone to dinner, we open up our home. And some of the most tense moments in our early marriage were prior to people coming from dinner, because Diane's generally kind of laissez-faire attitude towards housekeeping suddenly became remarkably martial and strict. And actually, I was much more laid back about these things. So usually it was helpful if they were 5 minutes late, because we could finish having the fight that ensued. But when we invite someone to dinner, we invite them into the home. We invite them into a social setting. People open up when they eat. I mean, not just their mouth, but I mean their heart as well. If you sit and eat with someone, it's fascinating that our young people love to go to McDonald's after evening worship. Doesn't matter where they go for evening worship, they'll make a beeline to the 24-hour fast food outlet at Straighton. Others are available to keep with the BBC's policy. But they just love to do that. And we've had some tremendous nights there. My favorite night was the night that the people on duty put out helium balloons. Now, there's no five-year-olds in the restaurant at that time of night. I mean, in certain parts of the world, there might be, but just not as straight. And it was all teenagers, so they knew fine well what was going to happen. And actually, I think you can look on YouTube and see the results of what happened when I sucked in some helium. But it's just that you learn about each other. You bond together with people you eat with. Isn't that true? Oftentimes when foreign dignitaries come across the ocean, they'll, of course, be hosted at a great banquet. And there's someone whose job it is to pick the wine for that and make sure it's all as it should be. And, you know, it's a big deal. Dining is a big, big deal. And if you're someone with hospitality gifts, or, you know, you love to cook, I mean, mention's been made of Evelyn's fantastic cooking. Well, that actually is part of the deal. That's part of it. Right through Christian history, we've been encouraged to hospitality. And we see that in various ways. And we're going to come back to that in a bit. But first of all, I want to deal with a concern that many of us have. And that's to do with, well, what if I ask someone and it all goes wrong? Have an open in your Bibles to the first chapter of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had one of the toughest jobs in the Bible. He was told by God to go speak to the people of Jerusalem, and he was explicitly told that they're not going to pay a blind bit of attention to what he said. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm asked to go speak to someone, I'm hoping that they're going to listen to what I have to say. But right at the beginning of Jeremiah, God knows this. Jeremiah is still a child at this stage. And you can find this page 730 your Old Testament. And reading from verse 4, the Lord said to me, I chose you before I gave you life, and before you were born, I selected you to be a prophet to the nations. And I answered, Sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say that you're too young, but go to the people I send you to, one, and tell them everything I command you to say, two, and don't be afraid of them, for I'll be with you to protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So in Jeremiah 1, we have a threefold thing. The first thing is that God says to Jeremiah, go to the people I send you to. Now, oftentimes people say, well, I'm going to ask that person because they're a bit scary, or I'm not sure how it works. We all have that. We all have that. You know that thing where you have to deliver something and you ring the doorbell and you're hoping nobody answers. It's that kind of nervousness that we have about encountering people. God says to Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Go to the people of that I'm sending you to. Who's God sending us to? Have a chat with your neighbor. Who's God sending us to? Any pitches? Go on, clap on your neighbor. Who are we getting sent to? Anyone who's in front of us. So the people that we meet day by day. Any other answers? Neighbors? Yep. Neighbors, friends, colleagues at work, family. Wherever it is we're planted, and most of us are planted in Midlothian. One or two of us come from borders. You know, wherever we're planted, we're inviting people there. One of the people I'll be inviting this year, already have done, is my hairdresser. I've been working on him for years, and he lives in East Lothian. He's, you know, there's plenty of great churches there. But because I'm giving him the invite, he's seriously thinking about coming along with his lady and doing Alpha here. And, that's the people that God sends us to. It's the people that we come into contact with. That was a great description. It's the people who we meet face to face. And we don't need to be pushy. We don't need to do anything like that. Just say, hey, we're doing this thing at church. We'd love to invite you for dinner. Now, I have invites here for which you can do that. You can go to the people. The second thing that God says is to tell them what I've told you. Yeah? Tell them what I've told you. Did Jesus say anything about communicating the gospel to those people you meet day by day? Well, probably the most famous will be Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all nations making disciples. Yeah? So, Jesus has asked us to do it. But the third thing is, he says, don't be afraid, I'll be with you. So he says, you go to the people I send you to, tell them what I give you to say, and then don't be afraid because I'm with you. Who's doing the donkey work in that particular scenario? God is. You see, when I take one of these postcards, I put someone's name on it, I say, do you know what? I might be wrong, but I think you'd really enjoy this. And anyway, you get some excellent nosh for hee-haw for a night. How hard can it be? And if you send that off, then God's the one who put them on your mind, in all likelihood, and he's suggesting that you go invite them. And actually, he's with you, even if they come back and say, oh, no, you're a Christian? And you have that conversation. Funny thing is, though, if you ask people in general about Christians, they tend to be negative. But then if you actually ask them if they know any Christians, the story starts to change. Not always, but lots of the time. So here's the invite. This is the thing. And there's a threefold promise there in Jeremiah that passes to us because God has sent us to people, given us something to say, and he's promised to be with us. He'll protect us. So, Alan did the wording for this year's invite. I was delighted he was listening. So, invitation to Alpha Dinner, 20th September, 7 p.m., Gorbridge Parish Church Hall. Menu prepared and cooked by Evelyn Dunlop. Lasagna, open brackets, vegetarian option, sticky toffee pudding. What else do you need? What else do you need? It's just an invitation to dinner. Now, the idea is there's room for you to write something on the other side, okay? And I will print as many of these as we use, but these are dinner invitations, okay? And on the other side is the Alpha thing that we'll put a poster outside of some poor chap. Now, it's not a good idea to do that with your wheelie bin, okay? But I just thought, Agnes, your lad tends to do what we show pictures of, so keep a lid on that wheelie bin. Or if he goes missing, you know where to look. But these invitations are available for you to use. I've got, I don't know, about 60, 70 here at the moment, and we can print some more. So that's about, don't worry about the reaction. Don't worry about the reaction. Let's just do a straw poll. How many people here have ever stopped, you've got that sense, I ought to say something about God's love to these people, but you haven't said it because you chickened out? Wow, look at that. You see, this is good news for us. It's good news. God is with us. We can't guarantee, those of us who did Freedom in Christ on Thursday, we're speaking about the one thing we can guarantee is us growing up Christ-like. Because that's between God and us. And if we're determined to do it, God's going to complete the work he started in us. But we can't guarantee how other people are going to respond. And it wouldn't be right to do so. But all we do is we open the invitation. And that's happened so many times. It happened with Andy. It happened with many of you. And notice that Andy's reaction initially was not that positive. But then she would probably look back on that as a time of her life when things really dramatically changed. And she looks like she's doing quite well on it, actually. Now I want to talk to you about the transformational meal. Can you just think for a moment in the scriptures of when someone's had a meal that's changed their life? Anyone in mind? Yes, Chick. Your first meal in the forces. Wow. And that was a real life changer. I bet it was. And many of us can look back. There's things that we've been involved in. It's a very important theme in the scriptures. So much so that to teach the Jewish people about how God intended things to be, there was lots of rules around eating. But I want to take us to later on in Luke's gospel. We're looking at Luke 14 early on. Now I want to go to Luke 19, okay? The most famous short person in the New Testament. Okay. Some of you just went, I know that guy, Zacchaeus. The guy, just about everybody knows his name, but very few people can spell it. Okay, so if you do have to Google it, it's Z-A-C-C-H-A-E-U-S. There you go, that'd have been fun. I think he might have got Zach at school. He got other names when he was growing up. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a local tax collector in Jericho. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. He's already set his face to traveling to Jerusalem. And Jesus stops off in Jericho along the way. I mean, it's on the road. And we get this incredible encounter, which we know really well, but I want to go into just in a little detail. Here we go. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus went on to Jericho, was passing through, and there was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. Now, if you were Jewish in those days, rich tax collector meant something. We'll come back to that. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd, climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay to your house today. And Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. And all the people who saw it started grumbling. This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, listen, sir, I'll give half my belongings to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I'll pay him back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The story. So Zacchaeus he's a short guy, okay? I'm not gonna say anything more about that. I've got good friends who are short and I don't want to fall out with them. But he obviously was vertically challenged and he couldn't see past the crowd. He was a chief tax collector, and that meant he was in charge of the local tax collectors. And one of the things to impress upon you is how much he was hated. We think about tax. I used to be a tax man, a very, very bottom of the tree, but I used to work for the Inland Revenue. Once upon a time, we played an 11-a-side football match, and we were playing the people who were from Cheshire House, who did the poll tax. So there we were in Gorgie, 11 people who collected the poll tax and 11 people from the Inland Revenue. You sort of thought we'd have been set on fire if anybody had found out locally or shot or something. Thankfully, we kept it quiet. So oftentimes civil servants who work in that sort of capacity get a hard time. But frankly, that's nothing like a tax collector in ancient Judea. The tax collectors were given a quota. They had to collect a certain amount of tax. And that obviously went to local authorities, but a lot of it just disappeared off. You see, when we pay our taxes, and it's good to pay our taxes, we get roads and hospitals and school provision for our children and all those sorts of things. That didn't happen here. The taxes went away. In fact, you got to remember that when Paul's saying, you know, about paying your taxes, he's talking about a less just tax system than we understand. So it's good for Christians to pay your taxes. But this guy was more like a local drug dealer. He was more like a local drug dealer. Drug dealers import misery into our communities, and they suck cash out of our communities, often at the expense of stuff that's been stolen or whatever it may be. And if I was to have a drug dealer standing beside me here, who we, you know, identified himself as a drug dealer, then I think you guys, your hackles would rise, wouldn't they? It would just be that kind of, you know what? You're bringing misery in our community. And I mean, I've met with guys who deal in drugs. Sometimes I've met with them and I knew it, and sometimes I find out afterwards and thought the conversation might have gone a bit differently had I known. But drug dealers bring misery to our local communities. And that's what the tax collector was like. And the thing was, is that we may know who's dealing in the drugs. They knew fine who Zacchaeus was. And of all the people that Jesus chose to have his evening meal with, he picks this guy who is an outcast. Any outcasts in our community at the moment? Robert Greens? No? So Jesus is passing Butlerfield, chaps on his door, and says, I'll be eating tea with you. Now, we'll have to be honest here. Zacchaeus showed some interest. Zacchaeus showed an openness of heart. He perhaps... there was nothing else he could... who knows what there was going on? We never know. We just see that chink of an opportunity. But Zacchaeus had it, and Jesus saw it and acted on it. And he was not ready to reject Zacchaeus on the basis of his past misdemeanors. He didn't care that he wasn't respectable. He didn't care that he wasn't popular locally. He just didn't care. He saw a life that was in need of rescuing. And Jesus goes and has tea with him. It says that Zacchaeus was delighted. I love the way it says he hurried down the tree. You got to imagine when a complete stranger stands up and says your name, that you come down the tree in a big hurry. May have been prophetically, that sort of thing happens. It happens around Jesus a lot. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit goes, hey Jesus, there's a guy in the tree called Zacchaeus. You need to have tea with him. Okay. You see that Jeremiah thing, because Jesus went to the people that he was sent to. He did what he was commanded. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the people of Jericho. He wasn't afraid. He just got on with it because he knew the Lord was with him to protect him. And then he went to Zacchaeus, sat down, had that meal. And here's the thing. That transformational meal was shown in that Zacchaeus comes out and says, right, half of my wealth goes to the poor. That's big news in a society where there's no social services. And then if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to go back through my records. If I've cheated them, they're going to get four times as much back, which was a biblical principle that you can read about in the book of Leviticus or whatever, is that if you steal, you've got to return what you steal plus some restitution. And that was generous restitution. So if he diddled you out of 100 quid, you were getting 400 quid back. Practical demonstration of the transformation of the love of Jesus in the life of one person. So every single one of you can see where this is going. Invite anyone, anyone. There's no one in this world too broken for Jesus. No one. Invite them to dinner. Invite yourself. If you haven't been through an Alpha course yet, you can invite yourself. We'll take as many comers as we can. We will sacrifice as many cows as it takes to fill the lasagna pots. Of course, in reality, it means the team mums the word until everybody's fed who's visiting. You know, oh, I'm full now. Rumbly tongue. But we extend hospitality to everybody. Why? Because the invitation of Jesus is to everybody. Everybody. Yeah? This week, I'm going to be doing something for the first time. Ross and I are going to prison. And we're going to be on the you can get out of here when you want side of the glass. But we're going to prison. And I'm going to have something in my back pocket to find out when this person's getting out of jail. So that if at all possible, and if he keeps his nose clean, then when he gets out of Stockton, we're inviting him to a meal. The invitation is to everyone. Absolutely everyone. For a transformational meal with Jesus. You up for that? Here's my prayer. May this be the best Alpha yet. And that will be quite a thing, because we've had some belters. But on this 10th anniversary year, may be the best one yet. So where are we going to do this? Invitations. And big, what I'm calling Big Tuesday these days, because it's a community recycling project, you know. We're just, everything's getting stuffed in there. When you're meeting with people at Friday Community Cafe at the Over 50s Forum, as you're gathering with people at the Darby and Joan, whatever it may be. Though the Darby and Joe meets on a Thursday night, so you might want to clear it with them first, okay? Down at the club, folks at the Rangers, whatever it may be, just invite them. You never know. I didn't want to become a Christian before I did. And in all likelihood, neither did you. So let's invite them and let God do the rest. Amen? Amen. Can we pray? Father, I want to pray for your transformational love to fill us. What a thrill it was to hear Andy there just speaking out what's happened. So many of us have been through similar circumstances, similar experiences, and we can testify that there's that point where we figured out it's all real. And clickety-clickety-click, it starts to make sense. It's not that we're still growing, we're still learning. But we got to that point where we can put our foot down on the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead, he died to save us, and he lives to make us like him. And that's something. So Lord, may it be the best Alpha yet. Because you've called us, sent us to a people, given us stuff to communicate, and you're going to be with us. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to get very practical now. Is my computer bag up the back, Callum? Can you look in the front pocket of my computer bic where I think there is a fresh box of Bic pens? Bic pens are magical things, you know. One time point they're there and then they disappear. It's like the magic tractor that turned into a field. Thank you. Right, there's pens up the back, just in case you haven't brought them. Calm's putting them on the table. And then, John, would you take a little pile of invites and stick them, just two or three, at the end of each row, just on the edge there, okay? And if you need these, you come get these, and we'll print as many as you need. And what I would like you to do as we're closing in worship is be saying, Father, who is it I have to invite? Amen?